From Illinois Public Media News, this is 217 Today. I'm Kimberly Schofield. It's Friday, June 13th. Coming up, we talk with the next chancellor of the University of Illinois about how he plans to respond to pressures from the Trump administration and his favorite comic book. That story in just a few minutes, but first, these headlines. Sparks flew frequently at a congressional hearing yesterday where Illinois Governor J.B. Pritzker and two other Democratic governors were questioned about their immigration policies. Illinois' 15th District Congresswoman Mary Miller directly challenged Pritzker. In one exchange, the Republican accused the Democratic governor of allowing violent crimes involving undocumented immigrants.
In light of the crimes that I have mentioned, do you stand by your policy of tying the hands of Illinois law enforcement? Yes or no, sir?
You know, Congresswoman Miller, I am
not going
to be lectured to by somebody
I'm
who extols the virtue of Adolf Hitler.
Miller had just cited a deadly hit-and-run accident in Urbana in which an undocumented immigrant is accused of killing two young women. Meanwhile, Governor Pritzker brought up a comment Miller made 4 years ago, which seemed to praise a statement attributed to Adolf Hitler. Miller later apologized. The city of Champaign is receiving a state grant to develop a countywide plan supporting residents with limited English proficiency. IPM's Stephanie Mosqueda has more.
The $175,000 grant will pay for costs associated with Champaign's welcoming plan. Janelle Gomez is the Community Relations Manager and Compliance Officer for the city. She says multiple organizations in the area support people who may not speak English, but the county needs a more consistent approach.
I tell people often that if you come to the city of Champaign and you don't speak English, we have a willing heart. Every department will want to work with you, has systems to work with you, but it's very piecemeal. Different departments use different technology.
Gomez says the plan will help people know what support to expect when they arrive in Champaign and make it easier to settle in the community. She says it could be finalized next year. I'm Stephanie Mosqueda, IPM News.
The House of Representatives voted yesterday to rescind funding for public broadcasting. The vote was 214 to 212, with Illinois lawmakers voting along party lines. The rescission bill would grant a White House request to pull back $1.1 billion already allocated to the Corporation for Public Broadcasting to go to NPR, PBS, and local public stations. It would also cut billions of dollars in foreign aid funding. The bill now heads to the Senate. To see how your member of Congress voted, you can go to ipmnewsroom.org. The Champaign County Chamber of Commerce held a ribbon-cutting ceremony on Tuesday night to celebrate the grand opening of Hotel Royer. The Urbana Hotel has been vacant since 2016 after years of construction delays. IPM Student Newsroom's Anna Koh has more.
Hotel Royer was crowded with guests at the grand opening. Haris Purves, a partner with Icon Hospitality, said in his opening speech that renovating the hotel was challenging.
We've meticulously renovated the property, elevating the hotel to modern luxury standards while thoughtfully preserving its historic essence.
The hotel, which reopened in April, has 131 rooms, as well as a fitness center, swimming pool, outdoor patio, and cocktail bar. I'm Anna Koh, IPM News.
Still to come, we talk with the next chancellor of the University of Illinois about how he plans to respond to pressures from the Trump administration and his favorite comic book. That story is coming up next on 217 Today, but first, meteorologist Andrew Pritchard with your forecast.
I'm meteorologist Andrew Pritchard with your IPM News forecast for Champaign-Urbana. Today, look for cloudy skies with showers and thunderstorms likely with a high of 78 degrees and a southeast wind 5 miles per hour. Tonight, cloudy with showers and thunderstorms likely and a low of 68 degrees, an east wind 5 miles per hour. Tomorrow, partly cloudy with a chance of a shower or thunderstorm and a high of 80 degrees, northeast wind 5 to 10 miles per hour. Tomorrow night, partly cloudy with a low of 65 degrees, northeast wind 5 miles per hour. And for Sunday, mostly sunny with a high of 85 degrees and a northeast wind 5 miles per hour.
Next time on the 21st Show, Governor J.B. Pritzker was in Washington this week defending Illinois' sanctuary laws. That comes amid nationwide protests over the Trump administration's tactics with immigrants who lack legal status. Plus, Republicans move one step closer to a long-held goal of defunding NPR. I'm Brian Mackey. That's next time on The 21st Show. Join us.
You're listening to 2 and 7 Today. I'm Kimberly Schofield. The University of Illinois Urbana-Champaign's next chancellor is Charles Isbell. He's currently provost at the University of Wisconsin-Madison. IPM's Emily Hayes sat down with Isbell to discuss his background in artificial intelligence, his approach to federal policy changes, and his love for comic books.
After you assume the chancellor role in August, what will be your top priorities?
Well, my top priority will be listening and learning. I'm going to walk around. I'm going to meet the students. I'm going to meet the faculty and the staff. I'm going to go to all of the units, and I'm going to hear what is on their mind and the things that they want to do, and then we will get to work.
Your academic background is in computer science, particularly artificial intelligence. Mm-hmm. What is your vision for the future of AI and machine learning research, both at the U of I and more broadly in the state of Illinois?
So machine learning and AI is central to much of the future and what we're going to be doing, just like computing has been for the last many years. It's the goal of this, I think, though, is not just to think about AI and machine learning by itself as a thing that sits over by the side, but something that integrates in with all the other work that everyone is doing, whether you're a historian, whether you're doing medicine, whether you're an engineer, or whether you're a computer scientist. It's going to be central to all the work that we do, so we have to educate the students, we have to support the staff and the faculty, we have to help all of them to do great work with this as a foundation.
Would you be able to provide some examples of what that would look like?
So, for example, a lot of the work that you do around medicine and helping people to, well, there's two things. There's actually two good examples of this. One is medicine, right? How can we do to discover new drugs? What can we do to help people to deal with chronic disease? On the one hand. But there's also the human side, the behavioral side. What can we do to model people, to understand what they're doing, and then help them to make decisions so that they can take better care of themselves? So you get the medicine side with something like machine learning and AI, but you also get the health and the wellness side. And that's what sort of the power of this is, that you can do both of those things at once when you bring human beings into the conversation and make them centrally a part of it.
As you know, the University of Illinois has a large international student population. Mm-hmm. In the spring, the Trump administration deleted the records of 48 U of I students and told them that they needed to leave the country. More recently, Secretary of State Marco Rubio said the administration will aggressively revoke visas for Chinese students, who are the largest group within U of I's international population. How do you plan to respond to the federal actions that affect U of I?
We will support our students. It is very important, not just to the future of the university and the state, but to the future of education, that we bring in the best and the brightest from around the world, and that we support them while they are here. We help them after they graduate. Many of them stay. Some of them go back. They're our best advertisement to the world. They're the energy that helps us as a country, that helps us to touch and make better the world. So we have to support them. We're going to continue to bring them in as we can. We're going to continue to support them, and we're going to help them to thrive.
What's an example of that support you might offer if there were similar actions to what happened in the spring?
Well, the first thing you have to do is you have to make certain that students have the information that they need to have, both the students and people who are alum and are going to be postdocs or doing various other things. You have to make certain that they know what is real, what their rights are, and that you support them as they go out and do the things that they have to do, particularly if they aren't students, you still have to be there for them. But it's the support, it's the knowledge and the information. What is happening now, and what has been happening for a while, is you hear that this thing is going to happen, you react to it, you overreact to it, and then you find yourself in a much worse place than you would be otherwise. So a large part of our job, which makes sense as a university, is education, and to make certain that people know what they are able to do and what they are allowed to do, and you support them in doing that.
The university has seen major cuts in federal funding to research grants and support for indirect costs. What do you see as the value of that research, and how do you plan to make that argument to the government and the public?
So those are two different arguments, the government and the public. So to the government, you have to point out what the ROI is. You have to show the research. Look at this place. This is where the internet became the internet as we know it as the web. This is where quantum is being developed. This is the future of everything that we do. That is a sort of return on investment argument that you have to make to the government. They give us support, we support them, we power industry, we change the world. To the public is a different conversation. For the public, for people who do not see themselves necessarily as being a part of the university. You have to have a conversation with them where they are so that they can understand how this benefits them and how they can be a part of the conversation. A lot of what we do in higher ed is we talk to people, we talk at people instead of listening to them and bringing them into the conversation. And I think that is the future of the way you get the public on the side to see the things that we do with them, not just to them and for them.
Now, I read that your interests outside the classroom include ultimate frisbee, hip hop, and science fiction, and that you have a collection of 23,000 comics. What is your favorite comic?
Oh, that's a hard one. That's a hard question to ask. I think maybe my favorite one right now is Absolute Wonder Woman, which seven of your listeners will know what I'm talking about.
Can you explain a little bit more then?
It's a comic book about Wonder Woman. Everyone's heard of Wonder Woman, but set in a different universe where things are harder and you have to do more in order to be a hero. And she is a true heroine in this universe, and it's amazing art, it's amazing story. I highly, highly recommend it.
That was IPM's Emily Hayes speaking with the University of Illinois Urbana-Champaign next chancellor, Charles Isbell. Isbell's first day on the job is August 1st. You can find the full interview online at ipmnewsroom.org. That's it for today. 2 and 7 Today is produced by Stephanie Oriana. Reporting today contributed by Jim Meadows, Stephanie Mosqueda, Arjun Tucker, Anna Koh, and Emily Hayes. Music by the Kilbourne Alley Blues Band. Reginald Hardwick is our news director. I'm Kimberly Schofield. 2 and 7 Today is a production of Illinois Public Media. Thanks for listening, stay safe, and we'll talk to you again on Monday.